always file a trip plan, have the right training, take those essentials, know what to do in emergency, know how to call for help.
Mountain Escapes, a backcountry podcast. Your host is Brad Harrison, who's worked and adventured in remote settings his entire life. He's the executive director of the Backcountry Lodges of British Columbia Association, former owner-operator of Golden Alpine Holidays, and current owner-operator of Call West Alpine Adventures. Now, here's Brad Harrison.
Hi, welcome to the BLBCA's Mountain Escapes. Today, we're super fortunate to have an opportunity to chat with Sandra Riches, Executive Director of BC's Adventure Smart Program. Hi, Sandra. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Brad. Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Before we jump into getting to know you a bit better, can you give our listeners a brief glimpse into what the Adventure Smart Program is all about?
Yeah, just over 18 years ago, the BC Search and Rescue Association thought, hey, we should have a prevention program to help reduce the number and severity of these search and rescue calls happening here in the province. And they created the Adventure Smart Program back then. So around 2004, it was created. And what we do is we increase awareness, engage with outdoor enthusiasts, educate, inform, chat in all forms and shapes so that we can increase that awareness of all outdoor enthusiasts. So they have a few more bells and whistles in their back pocket, almost literally, and best practices for outdoor safety.
Do you have any specific programs that you could point us to?
We've got five curriculum-based programs underneath the Adventure Smart umbrella. Hug a Tree and Survive is for kids kindergarten to grade six. It's an awesome program. It was the first one we brought in. It originally stems from the States, came up into Canada mid-1990s, and we've been delivering that to thousands and thousands of kids. Super, really starts them young. We also have our Survive Outside program. It really focuses on the three T's, trip planning, training, and taking the essentials. We have a snow safety education program for backcountry, hanging out at the controlled rec areas, also known as ski hills, paddle smart program, and a snowmobile program as well.
How big is the Adventure Smart program? How many employees do you have, full-time, part-time?
Yeah, we've got a team of us, and it takes a team of us to do what we do. So supported with direction and financial support from BC SARA. In BC. And then myself as executive director, we've got a project manager, an assistant coordinator, and seasonal outreach teams. We place those teams, I kind of strategize based on the seasons, where the high call volume is for search and rescue. And then we place our efforts and energy and literally our outreach teams, warm bodies in the field, in those regions. So right now, for winter, I've got a team of two based in Revelstoke, because we know by data-driven insights from all those search and rescue incident summaries that the majority of search and rescue calls happen in the East Kootenays during the winter that affect Revelstoke search and rescue. And those are snowmobilers and backcountry skiers. So it makes it relatively easy for me to share that messaging in those areas.
Are you primarily funded by the British Columbia government through BC SAR and the Provincial Emergency Program?
100%. That started way back in 2004. It actually started with a new initiatives fund, for those of us who are familiar with that term, a NIF through Public Safety Canada. So BC SARA started with the idea, thought, hey, can we do this? Got the funding from the feds, came back down here, over here to the province. We did such a great job in that first 5 years that the program went national. So it's been national in every province and territory since 2009. But what's unique about BC and always has been and continues to be is that we are 100% financially backed and supported by BC SARA through Emergency Management BC, so through the provincial government.
Well, good for you to initiate that program across the country. Do you work with the BC Parks branch and other people in other ministries as well?
We do. And we've got three pillars, Brad, that we focus on kind of to steer us and what I use as direction for strategy. So data-driven insights, partnerships, and then special projects or targeted initiatives, if you will. And that partnership piece is a biggie. So partnerships, of course, with BC SARA, EMBC, but then also with the likes of industry like Avalanche Canada, Parks Canada, BC Parks, municipal and regional parks too. Metro Vancouver is another important one because we're so close to the density on the South Coast. And it's partners like that that collaborate with us including Destination BC and Destination Marketing Organizations. They're another big influencer here that help us increase awareness on their platform, so online, but also in communities. And it takes all of us to kind of reach the enthusiast on their journey. If they're on the bus and they see an ad as they're heading up to the ski hill or for a hike in the summertime, or if they listen to your podcast, or if they go to BC Parks website and book a day pass, they'll find Adventure Smart links to our trip plan app, our messaging and resources.
Mountains bring peace to the people.
This is Mountain Escapes.
Would you say that you're focused more on urban or rural environments?
Our focus is mainly based on data-driven insights. So if we go back to search and rescue incidents, and in BC, we have just under 2,000 search and rescue calls every year, which is more than anywhere else in the country, to be honest, and keeps them busy, keeps us busy here. And so we focus our energies on the areas that have the highest call volume for targeted initiatives, right? Like our team in Revelstoke is there, working with snowmobile clubs, Avcan, RMR, Revelstoke Mountain Resort, and working with those enthusiasts that we need to spend more time with. So, and in the summertime, we know that the data-driven insights prove that the highest user group and region are for hikers on the South Coast. And those are the subjects that need SAR the most. Urban, rural, it's more dictated by that data that directs us to. So those are targeted initiatives that I support and work with my team on. And that's in addition to our overall consistent messaging that would be throughout the province, no matter if you're in the north foraging or hunting or on the island surfing, there's still some basics that everyone needs to do. And that overall message is there in addition to the targeted.
As I'm sure you know, big data can be a monster. And so do the individual adventure tourism sectors say, or the government help you manage and provide that data?
That's a biggie, Brad. Yeah, you're familiar with that and how important that is. Hey, it's a big piece to the puzzle. So what I share and what we work off are our own individual SAR data stats. So we can say that, right? I can say, hey, we've got 2,000 calls a year. There's 79 search and rescue groups in the province, 3,000 volunteers, 2,500 full-time members, 500 members in training. We educate thousands upon thousands of people every year. But if we can't reconcile that with land manager stats like BC Parks, Parks Canada, even municipal, there's some huge turnout in local parks everywhere, and with tourism data and statistics, then how do we all know how we're all faring in the whole big picture? Maybe we're on par with about 1,900 to 2,000 calls a year because outdoor recreation has increased dramatically in my 30 years of my career. The promotion of outdoor recreation, it's a huge carrot for travel and media groups and tourism do a great job at their job in promoting what we have to offer from British Columbia, which is outdoor recreation and easily accessible outdoor recreation. So that's something that I'm trying to work on too, internally with BC SARA and hopefully EMBC. If we can, it would be a big project, but it would be a really productive one, I think, to reconcile and place those layers, like going in like an onion, really, and comparing all of those stats to ours and vice versa, so we can see where we're all going and who's really on that larger trajectory, or are we all growing equally together? It still needs to be done.
So you mentioned that you've been involved in this business for 30 years. How did you end up in such a demanding and important role?
and a fun one, I'd have to say. I'm passionate about what I get to do, and I've always loved it. I don't feel like I'm at work, even though the days all blend together here and there. But I originally moved to BC over 30 years ago from Ontario. Grew up in southern Ontario in St. Catharines, actually. Didn't do any outdoor recreation with my family. My family weren't outdoorsy. We didn't hike. We didn't bike. We didn't do any of that. I came out west with a friend, and it was almost immediate that I felt like I came home, and I'd never been here before. So I just kind of felt at ease and passion right away for the outdoors, and comfortably got into activities I'd never done before. So I was quite fortunate that way. And then I studied the Outdoor Recreation Management Program at Capilano College when it was a college. It's a uni now. And in between that, right as I was studying, I also was fortunate to apply for and be successful, I got in with BC Parks, and I was a park ranger and a senior ranger for just under 12 years down here on the South Coast. And that was kind of my first introduction to search and rescue, because we would be resource members in the park when there would be calls, working with local SAR. And that was kind of my intro too. And who knew it would lead at that time? I didn't have a clue it would lead to this side of search and rescue. And so then I took a little bit of time off to have two little people who are no longer small. My son is 23 and my daughter's 20. And I got back into work actually after taking some time off with them when they were little. And I found the Adventure Smart program as it was starting. So I was quite fortunate to get into that in 2004.
I'm just wondering, if people are interested, where can they reach out to Adventure Smart?
Like I said earlier, we started the program, BC SARA, 18 years ago. So BC Adventure Smart is that model in BC where we've got Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. On the BC Search and Rescue Association website, there's an outdoor education page that talks about our three T's and what to do in an emergency. So those are provincial, very active platforms, the Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook for sure. So that's BC Adventure Smart, BCADV Smart. All same handle. The website's there, of course, and everyone goes to that too, adventuresmart.ca. That's a national platform that's managed by our national affiliates. That's where you'll find the programs where you can book them for your community, and they're all free of charge to book any of those programs anywhere in Canada. And we host webinars and special events on our BC platforms. So we have our information over there at adventuresmart.ca as well, events and all the messaging. And then provincially, hit us up on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and join us for Trip Plan Tuesdays. And then lots of organic posts as well with trends and activities that come up and SAR calls that we share too.
British Columbia, Canada is a backcountry skier's paradise. With epic snowfall, vast alpine terrain, and cozy, remote backcountry lodges. Your adventure begins here at backcountrylodgesofbc.com.
This is the Mountain Escapes, brought to you by the BLBCA. You're chatting with Sandra Ritchies, Executive Director of BC's Adventure Smart Program. So putting on my BLBCA hat, I'm just wondering how the BLBCA, our members and visitors, can work more comprehensively and effectively with Adventure Smart BC. Do you see a method to make that happen?
I do. And it's something that we've worked at for a while over the years, but really concentrated on it in the last 5 years, I'd say. And that's inviting members from any organization, and they can have outdoor recreation experience. They could be a teacher. They could be a backcountry enthusiast. They could be an educator, tourism rep, SAR volunteer, to collaborate with us and join us so that you can learn our messaging and share it in your own way and in your own community. So we put on these volunteer outdoor educator workshops. We do an intake in the spring. We do another intake in the fall, and that allows us to share with you over a couple of hours. It's not a onerous time constraint to join us. And what I do is I personally train you in the programs of the season. Let's say the spring one here, we'll do Survive Outside and Hug a Tree and Paddle Smart. And then also our social messaging and how that reliable information can be shared in your community, literally either by a face-to-face presentation in a gymnasium or a church group at a hiking club, or online if you're comfortable delivering virtually, or if you just want to toss our boilerplate messaging on your social, then we talk about that too. So there's so many ways to do that with organizations like yourself, Phil Brad, and the likes of, let's say, Spearhead Huts, Park Bus, BC Parks, Tourism DMOs. Adding our information to your website, if you already have a safety section, there's an easy spot to deposit it, or we create, you and I, whoever's joining us on this, creates a page that is just about safety. We've already created all that messaging, so it's no major effort from anyone who'd like to do that. You just would be the creative, and we provide all the content. And the reason is that our message, when it's shared consistently with our 3T message, what to do in an emergency, who to call for help, when, the resources we offer, if it's the same on your website as it is on BC Parks, as it is on ours, then there's that consistency. No matter where enthusiasts go on their journey, they'll see the same message or hear it.
If you were kind of looking back a bit, have you seen significant changes amongst the general public in terms of backcountry users and just their attitudes and just their behavior?
I'd say yes. That's the short answer. And I'm really good at long answers. I remember back and I think back to when I was a parkie on the North Shore and just doing some backcountry assessment, hazard ratings and all sorts of fun stuff, signage, putting bamboo poles in there, marking the routes. And I remember enthusiasts coming up, you know, this 30 years ago, literally with no backpacks on and maybe a banana sticking out of their pocket and a handheld video camera or something, right? They were just going up there to set up some jumps and goof around and record then and maybe had a snack. You know, fast forward 18 years later, the massive increase, and you can attest to it too, of so many more people out there. It's just another ball of wax now. It's a whole other game, right? I remember being in the backcountry doing backcountry work, and you'd wave to someone who you knew across a couple of valleys that you could just see them in a distance. You knew who they were and you didn't see anybody else back there. Now there's a lineup to get up some areas. And so, yeah, I've seen a change literally in numbers, also in attitudes. Also, more and more people I'm finding seeking out more resources and joining our webinars, Avalanche Canada's, learning from subject matter experts to be a little bit more prepared. Is that changing the annual search and rescue call volume? No, unfortunately. When we started this, it was about 1,000 calls a year, just under, and now we're almost at 2,000. Some internal reports and needs analysis with Ross Couchet actually did some work for BC SARA, and it's projected that we'll be close to 3,000 calls easily within the next 10 years, if not sooner. So how do we define success? That's a huge internal conversation that we have a lot. And, you know, reducing the severity of a call is success. It's huge success. If a call is only 4 hours instead of 12, that's success. If the subjects know how to keep warm and dry and have a snack and communicate effectively with RCMP, then it goes down to SAR. That's success. If they know how to start a fire, that's success. If they know how to stop and stay in one spot and wait, that's success. So yeah, lots of changes for sure. Still more to go. I think as more people get out there, they're different user groups than they were 30 years ago. People who were out there years ago actually maybe belonged to a club or a membership and got mentorship. Now it's a different level of a user out there. And I'd have to say a good chunk of them are unaware as well.
That's really interesting to get your perspective on that. So let's polish up your crystal ball. 10 years from now, what does the future of adventure activity in Venture Smart BC look like?
Yeah, I look forward a lot, actually, as we strategize short-term, long-term, and that crystal ball is constantly being assessed, really. You know, this growth that's happened, I don't see it slowing down. I really don't. From the public perspective, from expectations that the public now have of us, you know, we're not a startup anymore. We're not as old as BC Parks or Parks Canada, but we're playing in the same field now. And so the growth that we're having with their support is allowing us to move forward in pretty big steps. And looking forward to and knowing like that call volume could rise so much again, it makes me think of the 3,000 volunteers and the placement of efforts on them that will be even higher than now. Being considerate of that, I think public need to think about that and their actions. I know they do, but man, they're all volunteers, right? And then that also applies to us with outdoor educating with our program. That will have to increase and continue. And I think as we move forward, the more support I can garner from industry partners and work together, like with you guys, Brad, and everybody else, it will eventually happen, right? I use this analogy. I don't know if it's applicable. My mom told me a story when she was when I was little. She brought me home from the hospital in her arms in this awesome red convertible that my dad had at the time. And they just said, okay, see you later. And she carried me home in the car as they drove home. Well, fast forward 54 years, we all automatically put a seatbelt on now without even thinking about it. That took a lot of time and a lot of energy and money in campaigning. So if you apply that to the best practices of the BC Adventure Smart program, you know, always file a trip plan, have the right training, take those essentials, know what to do in emergency, know how to call for help, understand there's no charge, don't move, just wait and be careful as you prepare and wait for help. If you know how to do that and those become habitual, then we've succeeded.
It's been really great talking to you, Sandra. Before we let you go, we just wondered if, you know, we have these dark COVID times, if you'd be willing to share a humorous story you might have and send us off on a bright light.
I remember years ago working with some groups, and I mentioned our programs earlier, right? Survive Outside, Snow Safety, Hug a Tree, and Survive is a big one for the kids. And the reason it's titled that is when and if the kids are lost and separated, we want them to stay put. We use the stop analogy for adults, stop, think, observe, plan. But for the kids, it's Hug a Tree. Stay put. It's warm and fuzzy. It gives them a home, a space. Well, I remember, I forget who it was, but this organization got in touch with us, and they said, well, we'd really like to have this program, you know, Hug a Bear and Survive. We're really interested in this Hug a Bear program. Can you bring it into our school and present that? And I thought, I don't think anyone wants to hug a bear, but we can definitely deliver the Hug a Tree and Survive program.
Thanks, Sandra. This has been BLBCA's Mountain Escapes. We've been fortunate enough to chat with Sandra Ritchies of BC Adventure Smart, and we thank you for your time, Sandra. Take good care.
Thank you. Appreciate your support.